Good morning. How's everybody doing today? Well, for those who don't know me, I'm Chris Ball. I'm the multimedia director out here, and we are jumping right back in and continuing on with our series, Climate Change. And so the premise of this series is that every one of our relationships has a climate associated with it. And so, you know, the relationship that you have with your family and with your friends and even within yourself, that there is a climate. And one of the bottom lines that we've had throughout this series is that the climate dictates the forecast. So, you know, what I mean by that is the forecast is a predictor of what is to come. You know, so if you have a healthy climate and healthy relationships, you can basically expect that there's going to be good things to come in those relationships. You know, but if you have a bad climate, if there's a lot of bitterness and anger inside of you, then you can probably predict that moving forward, there's going to be a lot of conflict there in those relationships. And so talking about forecast, you know, the weather lately has been crazy. You know, it's just we haven't had a break from these storms. And so, you know, we're working on a top secret project right now at church that's going to be released in July. And so we're going out and we're grabbing some footage for this project. And, you know, so I was looking at the three-day forecast last week and all thunderstorms. There was nothing to work with, nothing. And so I was like, okay, well, I'll move over to the 10-day. There's got to be something to work with in the next 10 days, at least one day of sunshine. But show this slide right here. Literally every day, thunderstorms. I mean, the forecast, there's nothing you can work with in that. And so that's what we're talking about today, storm clouds. You know, when in our lives, storm clouds come and the forecast that we have, it's not hopeful. That when we look ahead in the 10-day forecast of our lives, there's nothing to pull from and no sunshine in the future. And so really, storm clouds, when I talk about storm clouds, I'm not talking about a bad mood or a bad day or even a bad week. But storm clouds are those things that we have no control over. They just come into our life. They are conflicts. They are health issues. They are finance issues. It's things that maybe, you know, unforeseen things that are just going to come. And so what happens is, how we respond to those storm clouds affects the climate of our lives. And so on a consistent basis, if storm clouds are coming, storm clouds have a way of drowning out hope. And if hope is pushed away on a consistent basis, then our climate deteriorates and we can expect, you know, bad relationships and we start to become bitter and angry and resentful. And nobody really wants to be around us when our climate's like that. You see, we all have dreams and we all have aspirations and expectations. And I don't care if you're the happiest person in the room and you're just glowing all the time. This affects you too. We all have dreams. We all have expectations. And what happens is these things, they meet up against reality. And reality has a way of crushing our dreams and smashing them. I mean, life happens. And in this moment, when life hits, hope is pushed out of the equation. And you see, in Proverbs it says, hope deferred makes the heart sick. And how's your heart? You know, as we look across the room today, just in yourself asking, you know, have you had life hit hard and has hope been pushed aside and you find yourself with a climate that is dictating the forecast of your life, leaving you with not much hope? And so really, the bottom line, the thing that we're talking about here today, the thing that I would hope for each of us to take away is that when the storm clouds comes, when your dreams meet up against reality, choose hope. So when your dreams meet reality, choose hope. And I know you might be saying, well, duh, you know, if I could have done that, I would have, you know. If you knew what I was going through right now, I mean, like, our marriage is already too far gone. You know, it's not about wishful thinking. It's not going to bring it back. You know, we're already about to fill out the papers here. Or maybe, you know, your teenage son or daughter, you've drifted apart so much, and it looks like, you know, maybe, like, we'll never be able to be close again. We're just too far apart. Or your finances, they're just too far gone. You know, how can you just say, choose hope? We would have done it if we could. And so really, you know, as we start looking at this, like, I don't know your situation. And the reality is, There's a lot of other people in here that are also going through similar situations. And they're all unique and they're all different. But to each of us, we feel that they matter just as much. That we all can relate to what it is to have hope pushed out of our lives. But the thing is, when the hope is pushed out of our lives, if we forfeit hope, if we forfeit fighting for hope, then all we're left with is the alternative, which is the bitterness and the anger and the broken relationships. And so I know what it's like just to be in a place where you feel hopeless, and then you have these people come and they try to be hopeful. They try to like brighten you up a little bit. You know, so I was about 21 years old, and you know, I'm trying to my best attempts to honor God with my life. And one of the things I felt God was talking to me, he said, okay, you know, let's look at your dating relationships. He said, if you're willing to step back from your dating relationships and trust me with it, I have something so much better for you in the future. So that was the dream the right there. But on the other hand, there's the reality, the fact that I, you know, I got passions inside of me. I got desires. I want companionship. You know, girls be looking good. And so, you know, when those dreams meet up against reality, and there's friction there. There's conflict there. And it's not easy. And actually, in that conflict, there's people coming out of the woodworks. And it's like people that offer advice that you don't want. I mean, does everybody know the type? And so people come up to me like, hey, Chris, like I just couldn't help but notice that you're single. You know, that's cool. And, you know, singleness is such a blessing, they would say. You know, singleness is such a blessing. And like, I just want to strangle them to death, because I'm like, you're saying that, but you get to go home to a wife tonight and probably a nice dinner. I'm going home to my parents' basement to eat Hot Pockets with my dog alone. You know, this, like, your vision of hope, it's not working for me. It's not coming across here. You know, because it didn't deal with my situation. And so for the reason that I feel that I have any bit of credibility standing before here today and saying, okay, when your dreams hit reality, you know, choose hope, is because I have been through storm clouds in the past. I've been through many times in my life where as I look in those moments, as I look at the forecast, there was no hope. You know, but each time, you know, God brought me through. Each time, somehow, some way, we got out of it. And actually, right now, I am in storm clouds. There's things going on in my family right now, and things going on with health issues with my wife. And it's just like, as I look at the 10-day forecast, there is no sunny days. I don't know how it's going to work out. But the reality is, you know, I've seen what God has done over time. And so one of the, you know, I could pull from any one of these stories, but one of the most recent stories, and one that's, I guess, freshest, I'll go ahead and share that with you today. But I really could pull from any of them. You see, hope has a way of just blowing up inside of us, much like a balloon. And so this past year, you know, my wife and I got married, and so it's probably been a year and a half now. And about 4 or 5 months into our marriage, we found out she was pregnant. And it's just like hope begins to well up inside of you because, I mean, just think about that. I mean, what a transition to thinking you have a life that you're going to be responsible for. You know, fatherhood. I mean, the implications and the dreams of what that does to your life. I mean, hope begins to well up and it blows up inside of you. But that hope was short-lived because with about a week from the time that we found out she was pregnant, you know, we lost that child. And as quickly as hope blew up inside of us, the hope was gone. So about a month or so later, we found out that she was expecting again. And once again, you know, hope began to well up inside of us. Hope that this is the one that's going to work out here. You know, that God maybe, it wasn't the time on the first, but now is the time. So hope, once again, began to blow up inside of us. And as we started going to the doctor's appointments, and I mean, just to be able to go and see an ultrasound, and it's the craziest thing, you know, to see a life forming in there, and to see, you know, the yolk sac of this child, you know, the dreams begin to grow. Hope begins to even get bigger. It's going to work out this time. God has his hand over this. But the thing is, you know, as we started, we kept going there. we found that the doctors were like, well, actually, this might not work out. You know, you're behind process. Don't give up hope. Don't let out hope, but it's not looking like it's going to work out. And so then the next appointment, they say, well, actually, you should probably should start letting out hope. This is not going to work out. And so you should go ahead and be preparing yourselves for that. But it's something in those moments, you're like, no, I'm not letting out hope. We're going to pray about it. We're going to come, you know, we're going to do everything in our power knowing that God can do this. God does miracles, and we pray and we ask for God to do something in it. And so we hold on to hope, and we hold on to hope. You know, but then, you know, 12 weeks into her pregnancy, you know, we lost the child. And there you are in that moment, in death. All of those dreams are gone. All the expectations, the things that we would have hoped for out of the life of that child are deflated. There is no hope when you lose a child. And so it's in that moment that we sat there and we, you know, because you can't really say anything in those moments. And me and my wife were there and you know, her sister came in and put on an iPad and, you know, because we're not saying anything, we just listened to music. And, you know, the songs that started to play over this iPad were songs of God's faithfulness. You know, speaking of, you know, God coming through and God being consistent. And so it was like in those moments, I was able to look back and just see like, wow, like God really did. Like in this situation, you know, I was hopeless, but somehow God got us through it. You know, but then there was that time and God saw us through it. And so it was like in that brokenness, when our dreams were shattered, you know, God was giving us a vision saying, you know what? I can be trusted in this, and I am with you in what you're going through. But I could not have come to that realization, and God couldn't have spoke that over me unless I had been through a hope-building process. You know, all of those previous storm clouds had set us up so that when this one came, even though it was the worst one to date, there was a confidence and there was a hope that everything was going to be okay. And so today, that's what we're talking about. And that's the thing that I want to just encourage all of you in, is that there is a hope-building process that God wants to reveal to each of you, you know, that can give us hope for the things that we're going through, but also for the future. As we look at Romans 5, 2 through 4, it says, "And we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only so, but we rejoice in our sufferings because we know that suffering produces perseverance, character, and character, hope." And the interesting thing is if we lay this process of suffering and perseverance and character and hope over top of the people that you see in the Bible that God used for great things, you know, Abraham, Moses, King David, every single one of them had to go through this process where they suffered intensely for a time. They persevered, and through that, God developed a character inside of them that actually prepared them and positioned them for the life of significance that he had for each of them. And so that's the thing, you know, that it makes sense if God would use that in every single person he used for great things in the Bible, that he could also use that in our lives as well, that would be the thing that God would use in us. And I think the problem is that a lot of us have expectations. We think that God is up there and he's like the loving God that will allow no harm to come into our life. And so that's our expectation. But met up with the reality is life is hard and life has a way of crushing you down. And so when our expectation of God doesn't match up with reality, there's chaos and it doesn't work out. And so the problem is in this moment, a lot of people walk away from God here when life hits because they have a false view of who God is. And that's the tragic thing. And the tragic thing is that actually God is allowing and he will allow things to come into our life because there is something of greater reward that he's producing through those sufferings. But the hopeful thing is as people begin to walk away from this God, a wrong view of God, it actually gives them the opportunity to walk to the true God, the God who says, you know what? I will subject you to fire. Almost like the process of making gold is where, you know, you subject it to fire to burn out the impurities so you're left with something truly valuable. And so that's what God does. You know, God will allow that because he is more committed to letting you shine. And so what is happening here is we're not denying reality, but God is dealing with reality. You know, we're not denying it, but we're dealing with it. So how does this work? You know, I could use any of these people in the Bible because they've all gone through the same process. But you can't go wrong with Jesus. I mean, so Jesus went through the same process, so let's use Jesus. And it's interesting, we start looking at the life of Jesus in the Gospels. You see the little baby Jesus in the manger, Christmas story, and then you see teenage Jesus, you know, hanging out and chilling in the library, you know, doing his thing. And then there's a gap in between the Jesus of the miracles and Jesus of the cross and the big things that we know Jesus for. And so what I'm interested in today is really seeing, what is this gap? What was the gap between just the normal everyday life that we could live versus the crazy, you know, relationship with God, you know, doing extraordinary things? And the gap is this. It's found in Mark 1:10. It says, "As Jesus was coming up out of the water, he saw heaven being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, whom I love and whom I'm well pleased.'" You know, and how is that for expectations? God's literally opening up the skies and throwing birds at you, you know, as you're sitting there in the water, you know, just saying, "I'm for you. Like, I am, you are, I am pleased with you and I like you." But it's interesting because in the same breath that he is just ripping open the clouds, he moves on and says, at once the Spirit sent him into the desert. So the very next thing to come is, you know, after affirming him, as he sends him away into the desert. And it says, at once the Spirit. And I think a lot of times we think of, like, well, it's the devil that's doing all these things against us, you know. But the devil, he's not doing, you know, other devilly things. He's got other things on his mind. But it was God that sent him into the desert. And the problem is, for a lot of us, we don't see, you know, the desert, or we don't think of God being the one sending us into the desert. But the root of that problem is we don't see the desert, or we don't see suffering as a blessing. And I've heard it said that a blessing is anything that will bring us closer to God. And so if that's true, then and if God will use suffering to bring us closer to God, then it really can be a blessing. But if we look at Jesus, what is his response to all this? I mean, he's the one that has to go through the desert. He has to go through all this stuff. And we see that Jesus wasn't whining about it. You know, he wasn't throwing a temper tantrum or curling up in the fetal position and rocking back and forth, you know, but he willingly went. And as we read in Hebrews, it says, "Who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." So Jesus saw the big picture. He said, "Okay, I realize I don't like this part of it, but I know that this is what I have to go to in order to receive the big stuff, the cool stuff, you know, the miracles, that I can't even tap into those things unless I go through this part first." And so he did. And so it was for the joy set before him. But what about this desert? What's that season like? And for him, it says, "And he was in the desert 40 days being tempted by Satan, and he was with the wild animals." And I guess the only thing I can really compare this to is, maybe if you're locked in a room with an ex-wife or an ex-girlfriend, you know, and you're having to sit there and to spend time with them, you know, it's probably, you know, the closest thing to hell that you got. And so it's suffering. And so here, you know, what this is saying is that the desert experience, I mean, God has backed away, and it's just him and Satan alone in the desert. It's not fun. Just like you wouldn't want to spend some time with in a room like that, like, alone time with Satan is not a good thing. And he was alone. There was nobody else out there. But you see, Jesus persevered, you know, that he made it through that time. And as we read in the next verse, it says, "And angels attended him." You know, that God was never far away. You know, that even though he stepped back and allowed for that tempting to happen, but that he was right there at a moment's notice to step in. And so it's through that time that Jesus accomplished what was needed to be accomplished to position him for what was to come. And so as we look forward, how does this end? And I just want to remind you that Jesus is coming out. This is right after he's coming out of this time of suffering in the desert. It says, "Jesus went into Galilee, proclaiming the good news of God. 'The time is coming,' he said. 'The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news.'" You see, this was the launch of his ministry. What he got out of that suffering experience prepared him for the purposes and the plans that God had for his life. And I think a lot of us, you know, we view suffering and we view the things that we're going through as actually disqualifying us from God using us. But the reality is that God qualifies us through our times of suffering. But I think I need to make a distinction, because there's suffering that comes from no fault of our own, but there's also suffering that comes because we screwed up and we do it to ourselves. But even that type of stuff, suffering, God can use, and God can use that to work for good. And you see, it's what is produced through that time. It creates that hope. And you see, it was hope that drove Christ into the desert, but the same hope that pushed him and propelled him and gave him the hope to go to the cross. But it's going through that process of suffering, persevering, developing the character that is worthwhile, and then the hope. And that's what God is trying to build into each of our lives. That he's trying to use the experiences, and he will allow things to come our way because he is more concerned about optimizing you. So this is how it works. Because, I mean, theoretically, it's like, okay, that's great. But, I mean, the reality still stands. This is my circumstance. You know, what is something that you guys can walk away out of here with today and actually use that is going to help your situation? And I think, first, the realization that it's a process. You know, that storm clouds, they're always going to be coming. There's nothing we can do about it. They'll take many different forms, but they will come. They have come. You might be in them, and there's more that you can expect. But the thing is, because it's a process, each round of storm clouds that come, God is trying to produce a greater level of hope within inside of you. He's trying to grow you through each round. And we can either fight it or we can embrace it. And you see, that's why Paul could even have the confidence. You see Paul saying stuff like, you know, I've learned the key to commit or to contentment. And it's because he has seen God be faithful through no matter what he goes through. Or even James, who says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. That God is trying to get us to that place where we are not lacking anything. So that's how it can be joy. But still, from a practical standpoint, what can we do with that? How do we apply this to our lives? And this may sound really churchy, but it is a first step, and it's declare your trust in God. And you might say, okay, well, that sounds very nice, but I mean, looking at my situation, there is no hope. There is nothing I can pull from. And so that's where you say, okay, I'm going to look to my past. Maybe there's a situation in the past where I've seen God move. You know, God did something that I can just see him at work. Pull from that. Or maybe look in a friend's life and you see, man, like God is really turning their life around. He's using their life. You know, so look to them and say, if he can do it in their life, he can do it in my life. So you're pulling from hope wherever you can, even if you can't pull right where you're at. But then it's praying and saying, you know what? God, I don't like my situation right now. I'm not happy with what's going on. And if there was another way, do the other way. You know, but if this is the only way, and if this is what it takes to be able to use my life and position me for the bigger purposes that you have for my life, let's do it. I'm not happy, but let's do it. If this is the only way, let's do it. And Christ had the same mindset when he was on the cross. He said, Father, if you can let this cup pass from me, do it. But nevertheless, not my will, but your will. If there's another way, let's do it. But if this is the only way, nevertheless, I'll do it. And the cool thing is, this kickstarts the fight. Because we become no longer defensive, but we become on the offensive. And when we kickstart and when it becomes a fight, we're empowered. We feel like we can do something about our circumstances. When we start fighting, it actually allows God to kickstart the hope-building process in our lives. No longer are we left in this place of just suffering, but we can move to the next step of the process, which is perseverance. And so perseverance, what that looks like, it's not about getting it right, but it's actively engaging yourself in the fight and saying, I'm going to go for it. I'm going to have a hard time trusting this, but God, if you say this is the only way, I'm going for it. I'm going to continually go for it. And you may fall straight on your face, but it's getting up and saying, I'm going to keep at it. I'm going to keep at it. And eventually I'm going to get it right. I'm going to keep at it. But how do you persevere? And it's a simple, practical thing is saying, do the next right thing. Because your messes, the messes that you find yourself in your life right now, for some of you, they are too big for you to handle on your own. And you can't really do it all in one chunk. But there is something, there is one right decision that you can be making, and it's about making it a daily resolve, saying, God, every day I'm just going to make it a priority, saying I will do the small thing that I can be doing. There is something I can be doing. And what happens is when you keep on, there's a then God moment that happens. It's a then God moment is a moment where God steps in and does what only God can do, where God says, man, you really do have a mess. And the reality is, I know you can't do it on your own. But I honor the fact that you are giving it, that you're giving it your best, and you are doing, you're faithful in the small things. And then God steps in and says, all right, I'm gonna do amazing things for your circumstance that you could never do on your own. It's a then God moment. And so what happens is, in those then God moments, we see that, wow, God really was standing outside of those storm clouds, and he was there the whole time. And then a built-in hope, a forged-in hope becomes created inside of us, a hope that gives us confidence, you know, much like my story where even regardless of it being the worst storm yet, we still had hope in that moment. And so there's two choices that we can walk away with here today. There's only two choices. Either, you know, because storm clouds are going to be coming. Circumstances are going to be coming. When they come, you can allow them to, you can become bitter and angry and allow for hope to be continually pushed away. And that can affect the climate of your life and the climate of your relationship. And if the climate really does dictate the forecast, then there really isn't much hope for you, to be honest. And you can choose to do that. Or you can get up and fight, and you can get up and say, you know what? God, like I said, I don't like what I'm going through. I don't like this situation, but if you have good in this, let's do this. And I'm going to fight for hope, and I'm going to look for hope where I can. I'm going to trust you even when it's hard, and I'm going to persevere through this. I'm going to push through this even when it's hard, even when I mess up, knowing that on the other side of me persevering is a then God moment where God shows up and character is developed inside of me, where God can move me to the bigger and the better things, the real plans that he would desire for our life. That's where the power's at. And so going back to my story, you know, as we were there on the couch that night after losing that child, you know, just listening to that music, one of the songs in particular that came on, it was a song called Never Once. And the words of it said, never once did I ever walk alone. Never once did you leave us on our own. You are faithful. God, you are faithful. And really, because God had bringing us through some incredible storms, in that moment, there was a hope. There was a hope. And even there wasn't even the promise that we would have a child. There was no promise that our dream of having a child would work out the way we wanted to. That's real life. But there was the promise that God was there and he was working good in our situation. And he wasn't far. And that's the hope for us and the hope for each of your situations too. It may not be the exact result that you have, but God knows what's best. And God is for you and working and no matter what you're going through. You know, and it's with a very humble heart that I can even say today, you know, in 2 months we are expecting the birth of our child. You know, God has been good, but it's something that even if that wasn't to work out, God is faithful nonetheless, and God is building hope inside of us, and he can be trusted. And so I just encourage you, as this song plays, to whatever your circumstance is, to whatever your storm cloud represents in your life, in the forecast that seems hopeless, you know, let these words and let the truth that God isn't far away and that God is walking with you even now when it seems like he isn't, be encouraged in that and just find yourself in this song. Find yourself in these words and let hope rise. Father, I praise you and thank you that you can bring hope out of a hopeless situation. And I pray, God, Lord, we're not denying with reality, but we're dealing with reality. And we're knowing that a lot of our messes, we can't do it alone. So I just pray, God, as these words begin to play, that you would inspire our hearts and allow us to even catch a vision for the hope that you have for us and the future that is brighter on the other side of our trials. We just place this before you and do something special here today. In Christ's name, I pray.
Mountaintop, looking just how far we've come, knowing that for every step you were with us. Kneeling on this battleground, seeing just how much you've done, knowing every victory was your power in us. Scars and struggles on the way, but with joy can say, yes, our hearts can say, never once did we ever walk alone, never once did you leave us on our own, you are faithful.
Talking about storm clouds and troubles that we're going through, it says, these have come so that the proven genuineness of your faith, of greater worth than gold, which perishes, even though refined by fire, may result in the praise and the glory and the honor when Christ Jesus is revealed. When he's revealed, And that's the problem that we come to face is the storm clouds. They're blocking our vision. Storm clouds, they're always moving through. They're always moving. But above those storm clouds is fixed the sun. That is always there. That it's always shining. Even though we can't see it, it's always there. So our circumstances will always be moving. So when we place our hope in something that is fixed. And so today, I mean, that's the choice of saying, with our storm clouds, will we fight? Will we choose to fight for the hope that God is working something good in our lives and that there is a plan and a purpose that is unfolding that we just can't see, that is one day going to be revealed? And so I just want to, as you work through this and as you move forward to look, see what this looks like in your life, I want to leave you with this blessing, and it is this. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And if you are kickstarting that fight, we want you to know that you don't have to do it alone. We have deacons that will be up here in the front. And if you feel like you can't fight for yourself, come talk to them. You know, they're more than willing to fight with you and join in with whatever you're going with. Or if you got some prayer requests, we've got a prayer wall right over there, you know, that you can just put your request in. And we pray for those throughout the week. You know, we look at those and we spend time praying for your requests. So let God's peace be with you as you leave here today. You guys are dismissed.